All right. Well, we can yell a little bit if we have to. So, welcome to the Clean Shop. For the men's deal here, that sweet aroma that you smell is just, it's just the pure country living. So, thanks for. we were originally going to have ladies in here, but we didn't want to give them this luxury. So, so for this this men's class, mom and dad for the classes, mom and dad have the same topic. When you go through, you know, who to have speak and stuff, Kurt kind of wanted to do this, and mom said yes. I don't think dad ever did. But he is here, and this is his Bible, so I think he's going to come up when we introduce him. But no, I remember a lot of times growing up when we, you know, dad would talk about, you know, if you want to be good at something, you know, don't go to somebody who's bad at that thing. And I think a lot of stuff, you know, if you want to be a good rancher, don't go to the guy that's went broke ranch, and go to the guy that is successful and does a good job and takes care of the land and the cattle and all that stuff. So when you think about, you know, whatever you're doing in life, you go to somebody who's kind of successful at it, and you might learn something from them. And I think, you know, in the spiritual aspect of it, we all have our different walks, and we all have our different areas of things that we do. But, you know, I think experience is a huge part, and, you know, we can have a lot of the teachings and stuff, but experience, does a lot for a guy. And when you're as old as dad is, he's got quite a bit of it. So I appreciate the things he's done in his life and the experience that he has. And I know this isn't a class that he's like super excited to give, but I don't know of anybody more equipped for it. So let's bring Steve on with the hand.
Rylan and Damien, do you want to come up here? And Brian's going to read some scripture, and Damien's going to pray for us.
Turn over to Romans 5 for scripture today. I'll start in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have been attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the Lord, of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
All right, let's go to our Father and audience in heaven. Dear awesome God, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We're so thankful for this day that we have, Lord, this day to gather around and to take a little bit of time out of our busy schedules to be around some like-minded people, Lord. We're super thankful for the people who took all the time and effort into getting everything set up for us. That way we could come here and have a great camp, Lord, and we just pray that we can leave here a lot more encouraged than when we first got here, Lord. We just pray that we have a great Lord's Day as we remember you and all that we do. We pray all these things in your great and glorious name, because you are the Christ. Amen.
What do you guys think of Rylan and Damien? I think they're going to be future great. I was going to... I appreciate my boys and my son-in-law, because I get to hear them all the time, every week, and it's amazing to me what they've done. But Kirk has a joke that he probably shouldn't tell in mixed company, and I was just going to remind you of do it for him so he don't get in trouble. But he was telling us the other day that what happens when one woman makes it to heaven. Angels rejoice. And he said, what happens when 10 women get to heaven? angels rejoice. What happens when all women go to heaven? There'd be peace on earth. I'm not sure. So I didn't want him to tell that out there because he might be in trouble. And I was just trying to protect him on that whole deal. But I do appreciate my boys and what they do. And Brandon's with us there. And Larry is a big part of our situation here. And I appreciate all of them. It's been great to work with them. And they inspire me a lot. And I don't know what you guys think, but do you think that's true too? I guess I was just going to get started. I'm trying to delay is what I'm trying to do, I guess. But I'm gonna, what one thing, all you all know that I was in the legislature for a period of time, and this country concerns me in how we how it's going. And I think if you look around the world, the place where the church has went, grew the most is where there's freedom. And I think it's we're becoming upon a pretty tough primary in Montana. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have heard ads and things like that, but it's a pretty dirty deal. And I'll just tell you that some of the people on the other side, like the conservatives from Montana, are getting money from Soros and Weiss and Bloomberg and all these people, and so that they can tell a lot of lies. I think they've sent about $1 million to Montana to try to sway our elections. And so it's important for you to understand who you're voting for, because I think it's going to benefit the church. And I guess if we look at the passage of scripture in 1 Timothy, and I've used it quite often, where it says we need to pray for those in authority, so that they do the right thing, so we can have a tranquil and quiet life. What does that mean? It's freedom. Yeah. And if we have freedom, we can the church can flourish. When you got a gun to your head, it's pretty hard to think about what's really right. And I think, you know, the last part of that verse says that God wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I think if we have the environment to do that, so it won't take long to figure that out. I'll tell you how to vote. Just come and let me, because I know most candidates and I know what's going on with them. And there's not a perfect candidate, but I think we can work on that. So talk to me about it later on. And I guess just another little point there. My brother Lauren, who was here yesterday, is running for the House seat in Miles City. And since his last name is Heimbaugh, the conservatives from Montana, which is Soros and Bloomberg, have spent about $40,000 on his opponent to try to beat him. Because he has no voting record. They don't even know who he is. But just because his last name is Heimbaugh, they understand that freedom's pretty close to him. And so I just wanted to give you that example, what's going on with everything, so you figure that out. And, you know, they took some runs at me, and they couldn't get it done because I had the spirit within me. And I had a legislator friend that I seen the other day, and he said, because everything is kind of heated, he said, I appreciate the stand you took and how many people ran at you, but you always were fair and worked with everybody. And I said, duh, I have the Holy Spirit. What, you know, I didn't say that, but I thought that. And what, you know, and I think that's our mindset, what our mindset should be.
Yeah.
We should be, hey, that's how it always should be. And I'm disappointed sometimes in how I do things, but that should be what we should work for every day. We should be the greatest example there is of anybody on earth. And it's not because of what we do, it's because we submitted ourselves to Jesus and that we allowed the Holy Spirit to live within us. And so that, I think if you don't get anything else about it today, I was going to get up here and just say ditto, because we've had so many great messages here, and then we could sit down and save some time maybe here. But I might say a couple things as we go along here. But anyway, I was asked to share some thoughts about it. Tough times in our lives. And we've all had tough times. You know, there's been things that happen that God didn't make them happen, but God allowed them to happen, and God's going to use them situations to make it better for us. I would like to read some scriptures to start with, just to lay some perspective. And I think it's important for us, Mark talked about that earlier, to have perspective or have a sight, figure out where we're going. What do we have a vision to do? And so I wanted to read, of course, probably I want to go to Job first and just read a couple, three verses there. And of course, we all know about Job. I think there's some, but the verses here, I think, would pretty much tell the story. And let's start in Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. Now it happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking and wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabians attack and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another one also came and said, "Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another one also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from the across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone escaped to tell you." Let's read. Go over to chapter 2, verse 10. It says, and this is when Job's wife come to talk to him, and he said, "But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?'" And then it says, Job did not sin in what he did. I think it's important for us to have perspective on things when we look at what goes on in our lives. Let's go to another passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 26. And the same story is quoted in other gospels also. Matthew chapter 26. Starting with verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to grieve and distress. And he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but thou will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done.' And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. If we continue to look through that through Matthew there in verse 66 and 67, it says, "And what do you think?" I think I'm right here. Must not be right. Anyway, the whole deal goes on the rest of the situation is that they spat upon him, they mocked him, they slapped him. They, of course, as you go on further into chapter 27, they killed him. They stuck him on a cross and killed him. And I guess I just wanted to I'm not going to comment much on that. I just want to have perspective. And so let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I just want to read one verse out of here to just give us some more perspective. 1 Peter chapter 3. Yep, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Do not let this one fact escape you. I think it's important to understand how we started that thing. Do not let this fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I think that's really important for our perspective each and every day, because we need to understand that our things don't happen on God's timing. God has his own timing, and that's how it is. But anyway, I just wanted to leave that or to lay that for perspective for us to just think about, what's happened in the past with Jesus, with Job, and with Jesus. And I think it's important for us to have that in mind. You know, we've all had tribulations and trials, and you know we can think of, you know, every day we have there's something that maybe wants to hit us a little bit, and I think that, you know, the devil understands that, and he continues to work with it. We know that's what he done with Job. He made a deal with God and said, "I want to see what I can do with him," and he couldn't make Job bend. But you know, so this isn't about me or an event, but it's everybody has problems. But Beth and I had a problem, or our family had a problem about 33 years ago. We lost a son, and. It was a long time ago, and I'm you know, we're doing great, but sometimes it's still fresh, and and it was a tough thing to go through, and it went for you know, a long time, and I didn't handle everything the way I should have. I know that, but I think what we need to understand is. What we tell our, you know, when I was coaching baseball and the boys do that, what we tell the boys is, when the ball comes to you, know where it should go. And I think I think that's what we need to tell ourselves, because we're going to have tribulation. We just need to know where to go when it happens. We need to know that it's going to be there, and we need to know what to do with when it happens. And so. Anyway, but like I say, you know, this isn't about me and our family. It's about what we can do, you know, as far as how things work. You know, we've had other things. Beth had a stroke about 11 years ago, and she couldn't walk for a month. We didn't know if she was ever going to be able to walk, and all that kind of stuff. So them were some trying times also, but nothing was as tough as losing Shane. But that's just what the deal is. And everybody has things that they don't think they can get over. And I think it's, you know, like I say, I don't think it's, you know, I'm not trying to be on a pedestal here and say that I've had the worst time in the world, because I haven't. We're really blessed. But it's just important for us to understand that we need to know where we're going to throw the ball when it comes to us. And you know, And I think that's what I would like to get through to everybody today. You know, when you have these problems, you're kind of vulnerable and you're a little bit numb, and the devil understands that. So he'll take a run at you hard. And really that's what the whole thing is. And I think if we go back to Romans chapter 5 and just look at that for a minute. Ryland read it earlier here. But let's go look at that. I'm going to start with verse 3, and it says, not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. That's what he says to do, exalt in our tribulation. Be happy about it. Make it better. And we continue to go through that, it says, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I don't know what you'd add to that passage of Scripture, because basically it's just how it is. You know, I mean, we we'll look at a lot of Scripture here, but if we, there's going to be tribulation. That's all there is to it. There's going to be it, you know, because there's a fight, there's a war here between those who, the one who wants to destroy us and the one who wants to, that loves us and wants us to be with him forever and to build us up. And so that's always going to be there. So we just need to remember that. And I think, you know, Romans chapter 5 really tells us what that's about. Let's go to another passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. At verse 7, it says, and the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at all these passages, there's always a goal to look at. Mark talked about that this morning. Have your eye on the goal. And I think it's important for us to when hardships come, look at that goal and be there and be better for it. Let's go to stay in 1 Peter and go to chapter 4. Let's read in verse 12. I probably threw 40 notes away on this because I didn't know what I was going to do with this passage. And so I don't know. I feel like I'm about half unprepared, but let's just let that scripture kind of talk to us and we'll see what happens. But anyway, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which has come upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. In order, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of and glory of God rest upon you. Again, he tells us, look at this goal. That's what's going to happen. You know, you're going to find yourself favor with God, because the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. It's going to be there. And that's what the goal needs to be. But we've read a lot of times James chapter 1. Most of you could probably quote it. But James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Again, that's what we need to be happy about, the things that go wrong with us, because it helps us be better. And I think it's, again, important for us to understand. One thing that we know, that in our society, we got psychiatrists and psychologists and therapists and lawyers and all kinds of professional people that want to tell people that they're a victim, or they got a reason to act like they do because somebody done something to them one time, or they went to through a situation. And I think that's, you know, sometimes I've heard Christians be that way. You know, they think, oh man, I went to this deal and that's why I'm acting like this, and that's why we done what we did. That's a bunch of baloney. You know, basically, what we need to look at is the fact that God wants us to be better because of what happened to us. And I think that's important to look at. And I guess one thing that I was just going to bring up too is the flip side of this whole deal. You know, sometimes when somebody has a tragedy, we want to stay away because we want to give them time to do whatever they do. But that's not right. I think when people have a problem, we need to be there helping them. And I, you know, when we lost Shane, you were pretty devastated for a while, but you always remember the people that came and said, I want to help, and the people that helped. And I think it's important for us to, in the body, to look around, see what's going on. If somebody's having a problem, be there to help them, and don't be there to kick them, don't be there to say, well, you deserve that, but be there to help them. You know, and maybe they did deserve it, I don't know, but still, we need to help them, and I think it's important for us to do that. Let's look at a couple scriptures that talks about that. John chapter 13, 34. pretty good passage of scripture. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you go help that guy that's hurting, people are going to see that. It's going to help them, it's going to help you, and it's going to help the cause of the kingdom. And I think so don't hesitate when people have problems. You know, go help them and show them that you love them. Second Corinthians 1 talks about the same thing. Second Corinthians 1, 3-7 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all, comfort us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are afflicted with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if you are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patience enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. If we're going to you know, we're going to be in Christ. We're going to have some suffering. That's what it said. And we just need to help others get out of that situation. That's what Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians here. I guess Galatians chapter 2 is a pretty straightforward verse also. Galatians chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we've talked a lot about this weekend, which is with a great theme of be like Christ, be like me as I am like Christ. And I think that's, as we do these things, that's what Christ would do. And so I think it's important for us to comfort one another in situations. And I guess when we meet together as a body, we need to know people. We need to understand people. We need to figure out what their problem is or what their joys are, so that we can be part of that. And so I think it's important, you know, that Brandon talked about the fellowship the other night. I think it's important for us to have that fellowship together, so we understand what people are going through and what has happened with them, and how we can encourage them, whether it's for good or bad, you know. And I think it's, or whether they're having good or bad times, we need to encourage them to do what's right. So I would just like to encourage you all to look for, I mean, don't shy away from people because they have a problem. Just, you know, try to go and help them, and I think it takes a little bit of it takes some guts to go do it, but you got to do it. I think that's important. I guess one thing that I would like to talk about more too is the fact that, and I don't know if this phrase is a good phrase, but I've said it a few times, but we're in the people business. That's really what we do as Christians. I mean, we need to understand what people are about, what people are doing, how we can help them. And sometimes we get tied up in our own world, and we don't understand what people are doing. But it's important to understand that we're in the people business. That's really what this is about. This is about, you know, the kingdom is made of people. And if we want to relate to people, we got to know who they are. And I think it's something that we need to look at. Let's look at some scripture that and I don't want to be going to scripture, having a thought and then trying to prove it with scripture. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Mr. Hoffman or might have talked about that the other day. It was either Mr. Hoffman or I don't know who it was, I guess. But anyway, I guess we can read a scripture twice. It won't bother us too much. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. So, you know, basically, we need to look at others and help them, because that's what we're doing. That's what we do, to make them, point them towards eternal glory. And, you know, if we have to endure a few things to do that, that's great, you know. And so let's just think about that as we go through these things. Just endure it and keep going, and so that we can encourage others also to do that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read in verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews, I become as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are under, without law. To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. The last verse maybe says it all. I do everything for the sake of the gospel, that he can help the kingdom grow. And I think that's maybe the mindset of what we need to have when we go through things. And like I say, everybody has a trial. I got up here and cried a little bit and talked about my trial, and it was tough. But everybody has trials, and I understand that, and we need to just use them for the best thing that we can use them for, and I think if we can be better, that's what God wants us to do. In closing, I'd like to read some scriptures here. I probably haven't used up all my time, but I was just going to get up here and say ditto anyway. So I was able to do a few more things than that. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always." that's a pretty bold phrase, and it's a pretty wide open phrase, but I think it means rejoice always. Don't you guys think it means that? So pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. And I've thought about that a lot. I think we have a portion of us, of our fleshly bodies, that quenches the spirit every day. We don't allow it to be its full potential, because like Mark was saying, we don't see it ourselves, we don't have it in our minds. And I think it's important for us to understand that the spirit is there. You know, we in the restoration movement get criticized for talking about Acts 2:38, which says, we're immersed for the forgiveness of our sins and receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a fact. And that's the foundation of Christianity. And we got to realize that we have the Spirit within us, and that's really what can happen. You go on down in Acts, down to Acts chapter 19, where Paul ran across the people that were immersed into John's immersion, and they hadn't heard about getting the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, "Man, we can't have it this way. You need to be immersed again in Jesus' name." So we know it's important, and we know that's what the deal is. We have to have the Holy Spirit. So let's be aware of that, because sometimes we might say, "Oh man, I don't want to do that." And when the Spirit maybe is wanting us to do that, and I think I think it's important for us to put that in perspective as we go. And in verse 20, it says, "Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examining everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from that which is evil." And I think that's, again, some more great advice that can happen, or that can be used as we go throughout life. let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. tried to get my wife to let me read her notes, and she wouldn't do that. That was kind of selfish, I thought. So then I could have just preached it here, and she could have done it over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. And this is great advice, I think. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it a slave, lest possibly, after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Really important passage of Scripture, I think. And of course, all passages of Scripture are important, but I think, you know, like I said before, you need to know where to throw the ball when you get it. And if you look around at the, because things are going to happen. Be ready for it. Buffet your body. Make it a slave so that so that when things happen, you can bring glory to God. And I think that's really important. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Isn't Romans chapter 8 a great chapter in the Bible? You know, and we know that in verse 9 and 10, it talks about having the Spirit within us. And if we don't have the Spirit within us, then we're in pretty bad shape, it sounds like to me. And so I think it's important for us to remember that that's there, that He is there, and that Him and God and Jesus are all one. So let's remember that as we go through that. That's why I think it's important for us to remember not to quench the Spirit. In verse 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, or that we may also be glorified with Him. Again, if we suffer with Him, we can be glorified with Him. So it's not a bad thing to do. It's not a bad thing to suffer. It hurts for a while, but it's going to be really beneficial if we use it the right way. So, you all right, Larry? Let's go to verse 26 and 27. I don't know if I totally understand these passages of Scripture, but they mean something. And I just want to read it, and you guys can think about what goes on there. Romans 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I think the Spirit's important. That's what I think. That's what that's telling us. And I think if we have it in us, it's gonna do great things. And we need to be aware of it, so we're not doing it. Larry, do you need to go out for a minute? Do you need to go up to the house? Are you all right? Okay. We love Larry a lot, and so we like to watch out after him. So let's go to verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered it up for us all, how will He not also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against us? But God's elect. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who was raised up. Raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. What shall we Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered to be sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I guess that's what's exciting to me. You know, we need to be on God's team, and if we're on God's team, it looks like we're in pretty good shape. We're gonna win as we go along. And I guess as we, you know, again, I'm kind of simple, but I guess that's what I think we need to look at. If we're, you know, tribulation can't do anything to us, trials can't hurt us. We just need to remember that Jesus is with us at all times, and if we can do that, I think it'll do a lot for us. I wanted to say a few things about, you know, people have mentioned a lot about what we've done here to bring you guys. It's really amazing to have you guys all come, and it's encouraging to us. And you guys, we know that you do as much work as we do about getting here and helping us. But we're glad to share what we have with everybody. But so thank you for coming, and thank you for being an encouragement. And thank you for building us up and helping us be what we can be. Let's go and make the kingdom be bigger and better because of what happens here and happens with each one of us. Thank you a lot. Appreciate you. Yeah.